Today is the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. The epistle for today is taken from Philippians chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taken from John chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John, asking him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them who sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there has stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, joy is the echo of God's life in us. We saw that the whole purpose of the incarnation is God wants to take our humanity so as to give us his divinity, to give us his life. And his life is one of joy. Our Lord speaks of his joy in the gospel. He says, "It's my joy." It's interesting that it's especially the night before he suffers, the Last Supper, is when he speaks the most of joy. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be filled. Amen, amen, I say to you, you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And again, he says, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Yes, our Lord is joy. He was the most joyful man who ever lived on this earth. And in his heart, there is still this eternal joy, which he wants to share with us. And so today the church rejoices with this emphatic exclamation from St. Paul, to rejoice, and he says to rejoice always. It's not the first time St. Paul will say that. He told the Thessalonians, "Always rejoice, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks." So this is the Catholic spirit, this is the spirit of the church. It is one of joy. And joy is necessary for us. We have to be joyful. Why? Because first of all, it's in our human nature. There's a monk, Don Marmion, he writes, "God himself has fashioned our hearts, and he has made them in such a way that they have need for gladness." So all of us are looking for happiness, and we have to make sure, especially during Advent, that we're looking for it in the right place. Rejoice in the Lord. Today we are speaking of spiritual joy. Of course, we know there are our natural joys, which are part of life. But there are much higher ones. There are supernatural joys, which is really what we are made for. The spiritual joy. The devil wants to make us sad. We never want to forget that. Whenever there's the sadness comes over us, we have to see it as a temptation. He wants us to make us sad. He is eternally sad. Sadness is always the odor of the demons. And because he knows if we're not joyful, we're not going to fight. We're not going to continue to make efforts. You know how it is, if an army has low morale, they're not going to fight. If we are sad, if we're discouraged, we're not going to pray, we're not going to persevere. And yet there is no holiness without happiness. We are not going to become holy unless we are happy. That's the way it works. Is it something easy? Of course, here we're not just talking about being in a good mood. Again, that's a question of the natural level. Sometimes we're in a good mood. Sometimes, you know, in our soul, the sun is shining. Sometimes it's rainy. Sometimes we're in a bad mood, or we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Whatever it is, we have to rise much above that natural level, the level of feelings. This is from Father B. Jarrett, the Dominican. This is what he says regarding joy. Joy is a courageous attitude. To be joyful is not easy. It is an act of the will, a force. It represents a constant triumph, an attitude of victory. Yes, joy is an act of the will. It really is a virtue that we have to develop, we have to foster. Because life is hard. The Catholic life is not easy. And it's very easy to give in to sadness and discouragement, even depression. Say, what's the use? No, we have to exercise our will. Say, I'm going to be joyful because I know this is God's will. I need to be joyful. And I have every reason in the world to be joyful. We have our faith which is full of joy. The Carthusian monks, they would always say, joy is looking at God, sadness is looking at ourself. Yes, joy is looking at God. We have to look up, we have to think of the goodness of God, the power of God. That's why St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. If we could ask the saints in heaven today, if we were to ask them, of course they're eternally happy. They know a happiness which we can't even imagine. But if we were to ask them, why are you so happy? They would say, because God is God. They're immersed in this vision of God, this knowledge and love of God. And this is why they're so full of joy. His joy is in them. Yes, joy is looking at God. Sadness is looking at ourselves. The Catholic life, the spiritual life, is very much trying to forget ourselves, not look at ourselves, because it's true. We are miserable. We have our sinfulness, our weakness. And if we're turned in on ourselves, then we're not going to be very joyful. It's true. Our poor modern world is so profoundly sad because it is so selfish. It's so turned in on itself. And you can see the sadness pervades everywhere. The selfie world, the social media world, the social media which encourages everyone to turn in on themselves. This is why the world is so sad. And the pagan world which St. Paul was speaking to, which he was evangelizing, that world was also sad. And certainly this is one of the reasons why he's always emphasizing joy to these pagans, these Greeks, these Romans. You know, for the Greeks and the Romans, they had their gods, they had their heroes, but their gods were just too human, and their heroes never quite conquered the great mysteries of life. They never conquered death. And so over the ancient world hung this melancholy, this tragedy. It's that ancient world ultimately was tragic. And so when the gospel came, when St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Luke, all these great apostles, when they preached the gospel, they preached this good news, this gospel of joy, that Christ came to bring joy. And for them, they were fascinated by this idea that Christ was God and man. He wasn't some God who was doing silly things somewhere. He was God and man, and yet he was very close to them. He wasn't distant. the doctrine of the Eucharist. This is their God, a God who loves them, who's close to them. And they saw in him a divine hero. Again, all of the great heroes in the ancient world, none of them conquered death, but this divine hero did. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death for all eternity. And we have this image in this time of Advent, the prophet Isaiah. He says, well, God speaks to him. He says, "Say to the faint-hearted, take courage and fear not. Behold your God, he himself will come and save you." So that is our joy during Advent, is we're joyful because we have a Savior. We're joyful because we're going to heaven. We can go to heaven now. That is the reason for our joy. God is God, and we can go to heaven if we want. If it wasn't for our Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for what he did, none of us would be able to go to heaven. That has to sink into our hearts. We can go to heaven thanks to him, thanks for what he did. He is our divine hero. And we have to think of him as our hero and to thank him as our hero. It's interesting that our neo-pagan world, which we live in now, they're still looking for a hero. I was curious. I checked just to see, because it seemed like there's so many of these movies in the last decade or so, these superhero movies. So I just checked to see how many have come out in the last 10, 15 years, and it's over 30. Over 30 movies. These young people, and I think even adults, are just fascinated by these superheroes. They're looking for something otherworldly. They're looking for something even at least preternatural. They're looking for a hero. And they have to realize that they have a hero, that our Lord Jesus Christ is still the divine hero who has saved the world, not just 2,000 years ago, but continues to save the world today. If only they knew the joy that is in his heart, the joy of Christ. So dear friends, let us thank God that we have this Catholic faith, which is so full of joy. That we always have reasons to rejoice, no matter what's happened, no matter how heavy the cross is, no matter how difficult our life is. We have to make this act of will. I am going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because God is God. Because I am going to heaven. And this is what I've been made for. I'm a child of God. I have God's life in me. This is the joy that we pray for today. And I just wanted to read these words from G.K. Chesterton, the great Catholic poet and writer. I know we've quoted him before, but he speaks of this joy of Christ and the sadness of the pagan world. These are very powerful words. They're at the end of his book, Orthodoxy. So it's a bit of a long quotation. He says, "Joy, which was the small publicity of the pagan, is the gigantic secret of the Christian. And as I close this chaotic volume, I open again the strange small book from which all Christianity came. And I am again haunted by a kind of confirmation. The tremendous figure which fills the Gospels towers in this respect. As in every other, above all the thinkers ever thought themselves tall. His pathos was natural, almost casual. The Stoics, ancient and modern, were proud of concealing their tears. He never concealed his tears. He showed them plainly on his open face at any daily sights, such as the far sight of his native city. Yet he concealed something. Solemn supermen and imperial diplomats are proud of restraining their anger. He never restrained his anger. He flung furniture down the front steps of the temple and asked men how they expected to escape the damnation of hell. Yet he restrained something. I say it with reverence. There was in that shattering personality a thread that must be called shyness. There was something that he hid from all men when he went up a mountain to pray. There was something that he covered constantly by abrupt silence or impetuous isolation. There was some one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon our earth. And I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth." Yes, the joy of Christ, the joy which he wants to give to all of us. And this joy also comes through the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the cause of our joy. Why? Because she has given Christ to the world. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. It's very fitting that today we wear rose vestments, since today is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And you know the story. She gave roses in winter, and she gave us that beautiful image. And just to finish with some words from Our Lady of Guadalupe, words which very much fill us with joy and confidence. She told Juan Diego, "Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not in the folds of my mantle and the crossings of my arm? Is there anything else that you need?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.